Good morning. This is a workshop for the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District. Work session for amenity fees is on the agenda for today. It's Monday, March 16th at 9 a.m. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know this is a workshop before the recorder. Sherilyn, can you take the roll?
Yes. Commissioner Redd?
Here.
Commissioner Steele?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Here.
Commissioner Rowe?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here. All right. And for the audience and for the board and everything, since this is a workshop, the way we'll run this one so we get audience participation and make this a collaborative discussion is we'll go through what we have on the board right now is a proposed amended resolution. We currently have an amenity fee schedule for 2026. We're looking at proposing amending it to make some changes, which is why we're going to be going through this today. The plan. Why did I lose screen? Anyway, so we'll go through the amenity fees, and then each topic on the resolution, we'll have the board discuss, maybe back and forth with department heads, and then before we go to the next amenity fee topic, like from golf to pickleball, et cetera, we'll open it up for discussion before we move on to get everybody's input. We're having technical difficulties. All right, go home. There it is. Okay. And then, hopefully, if we have time, we'd like to go through the HICID regulation, Chapter 5, which deals with amenities. And I know the board has had a chance to look at this document and make their own notes in preparation for today of things that may be outdated, things we need to clarify. And so hopefully we'll be able to get to that today. I'm sure we will, but I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of it. So with that, what I'm showing on the board, and I've zoomed in pretty good. Is anybody not able to see it up there? And I think there's copies out in the audience.
We do have additional copies on the back table.
Okay. So nothing is changing up. This is all, hey, this is whereas this is our fee schedule. And then it jumps down to the actual section one, which deals with golf. So again, as I mentioned, 2026 rates are already out. And as far as golf is concerned, there's certain fees in this schedule that have actually already were supposed to be paid by the end of the end of January for the carts and personal carts and such?
December 31st.
Yes. So my recommendation, and the board will have to make it, you know, see if we want to stay on here, is I'm proposing that we leave golf rates what they are and move on to another topic, because I propose that since we set our budget for last year, we set the AOBs for last year, everything's set on the fee schedule we have here, that we look at 20.
Because we're losing a lot of business, because we're $72 to play on cow pasture. And you tell me that you can go anywhere around here, you don't pay $72. I know we've lost a lot of guys from out of town that don't play with us here. They did it because the fees are too high.
And I agree with looking at, but for this meeting, I thought that we were looking at amending the 2026 schedule and adding in things that we weren't necessarily capturing. But if we want to, if we're going to tackle this, this is probably going to take all day, just to talk about that.
Take all day.
Because we're going to be talking about golf, the rates for the changing of the golf.
It's pretty simple for out of town people. It would just reduce the rate so we get some out-of-town business.
Okay.
You ask Mark, would people call up and just hang up when he tells them it's $72? Is that correct, Mark?
I do have that, yes.
All right, so we're back.
How many a week? Is there 50 a week?
This time of year, it's hard to say.
Not this time of year, summertime.
In the summertime.
50 of them hang up a week.
Maybe not 50, but quite a few.
Yeah. See, so we are too high. You could go up and get $100 for four people at other places with carts.
So is everybody good with discussing golf and moving on and just going line by line to see what we can? I would be hesitant to change anything that we've already.
You have one vote.
We're not voting on anything. We're discussing.
In the meeting, you have one vote.
Got it. I 100% agree. When we vote on this, I'll have one vote. Now, having said that, I'm just saying for this discussion, if we're looking at, because this is going to set the whole tone for this meeting, is are we going to go line by line, which I'm fine with, and talk about changing or not changing? And that's what I'm opening up for. Because I thought we were coming in to do an amended for anything new is what I recommended last time.
I agree. To review the golf fees, and if you want to do it in depth, first off, $72 for the middle of February is outrageous. We need some sort of a sliding fee. And right now, I'm looking at Golf Now. I can buy golf all day long on Golf Now cheaper than I can at the clubhouse. And I question why we charge $72, but on Golf Now, I can do the same thing for $59. Now, I don't know if we want to carry this whole conversation on today because it is in a lot of detail.
And I talked to Rich, and this is why I wanted to get to the second part of my discussion, was that we didn't really set the amenity fee schedule or even talk about it in depth last year when we were setting our budget. What I'm proposing is when we have our auditors come in June, right? The auditors come in June.
That's too late.
And then, let's see, the auditors come in June, and so July, we would have this long, in-depth discussion going line by line with research to back up how much it's cost. To your point, you're talking about some of these stats that I don't know if the rest of the board has even had a chance to talk to Mark on to even talk in depth on these. So that would be my thing is we would
we'll have Mark talk today.
Well, we can have Mark talk, and I'm fine with that. But and then set the 2027 schedule and post it so people know what they're going to pay January 1st because we've already had people pay off of this schedule for last year. Did you pay your cart fee?
Yes.
There you go. You've already paid based off of that schedule.
That's due in December 31st.
I agree.
The out-of-town golf fees are what I'm telling you is too high. We're losing members coming from out-of-town. And if four guys call up and they say it's too high, and if we had it for $50 with a cart.
I'm not disagreeing.
$200 if you do that 15, 20 times a week.
Commissioner Pinkley, I don't disagree with you. I actually have worked and talked to Mark as well. I'm actually on your side with this. I actually agree that from what I've discussed with some of our golfers and some of the people, I agree that we're charging more for non-property owners coming or guests coming in than what we should. My point is, I thought for this meeting, we weren't going to go this in depth and we were going to set the 2027 rates for next year because we've already published this and we're already into
the
year.
We could change that. We agreed that we could change them any time.
We can. It's in the regs.
It's
in the regs.
Jack around that being okay. Something for 2 years.
All right, so I'm hearing that we want to go line by line is what I heard.
I want to go line by line.
I don't think at this point we need to be going line by line. We are here for a purpose of what we've been looking at and going forward. And then if we want to next month, we can start with the golf fees and start having the discussion. But at this point, I didn't really, this isn't where we were doing our research on.
All right, that's where I was at.
That's my opinion.
I think we ought to move forward with the agenda you had. If we have time towards the end, we can come back and revisit the golf rates. But for the time being, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I don't know that all these people came to hear about amenities. They didn't all come to hear about golf. So I think we put the golf towards the back of the meeting if we have time.
Okay. I agree with that. So let's just move forward.
The question I have, and looking at the 2026 rates, you've eliminated the activity cards. I want to know why that was.
Is that on the...
Last year we had an activity card for the 9-hole and the 18-hole. Now it's gone. Why?
I don't know. I went with what the resolution we approved
That's, I believe he's talking about the punch card.
Punch card, is that what we're?
Yes, activity card, punch cards. Nine holes, $150.
Right, I don't know if I saw that on the resolution, because what I did is you can see track changes. So I took the resolution that Rich had, and.
Is that in the regulations though?
So that's the reason I started, that was a baseline of what was approved. So we need to call up the resolution and see if it was already removed back then.
Well, I don't know.
And maybe I accidentally moved it, I don't know. So that's why I'm glad we'll discuss it.
We'll look into that.
Well, it's no longer there, it was last year.
So I'm gonna actually put in there a placeholder for punch card. With a question mark, because before we vote on this, we'll have to get that resolved. And maybe if we have a break or something, we can go pull up the other resolution to make sure we saw, and if it was already on there, then I'll make sure I add it on.
All
right. Is that, anything else on the golf? Actually, we're gonna come back to golf, so let's just go ahead. Swimming pool fees. Again, I'm proposing, since nothing has changed, that we leave this the way it is until 2027, where we were going to cover pools. Is any? And Janice, I think that's what we talked about, right? So, okay. Pickleball, tennis, basketball court fees, section 3.
David, I want to back up just a minute.
Sure.
If I can interrupt you, Bob.
Yep. On which one?
Rental guest daily fee.
Rental guest daily fee. So swimming pools?
The hours, 9 to 7 p.m. To me, putting the hours in there is a mistake. We have it in the resolution, too, but we don't follow those hours, even though we are mandated by resolution to do that.
We're mandated.
Our hours in our resolution is 8 to 8.
Okay.
Is that when it's open, Janice?
No.
Okay, we need to change the resolution. But I think putting the hours in a resolution is a mistake. Take that out totally. It's up to Janice and Rich to... Dictate the hours, but it can't be in writing.
I don't disagree with that. Anybody else?
No.
Okay. And those are posted always at the door anyway, too, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And we put in the newsletter, and we put those times there based on...
It doesn't need to be in the resolution.
Okay. So full disclosure... this is just me putting in a proposal here for this work, this red section here for section 3, pickleball, tennis, basketball court fees, et cetera. For the recording, it says individual annual pickleball and tennis court pass of proposed $60, an annual family pickleball and tennis court pass of $100, and rental guest fee, deleting the times out of that.
What is it? Why are we trying to charge for a tennis court and here's
where I came up with. So we charge, we pay our AOBs, we all pay AOBs for certain things. We pay for golf, we pay extra for golf because that's an amenity that certain of us like to do. We pay for the pool as an amenity that certain groups do regularly. Pickleball, in the last 5 years, we'll have spent $30,000 on the pickleball courts.
$6,000 a year, but we aren't going to be doing that for another 10 years. 15.
Well, no. If I'm going by facts. Facts were, it was done 5 years ago, and it's
a joke. It's a joke trying to charge for pickleball.
Okay, and that's why it's a board. Like I said, we don't have to keep it in here. My proposal, and that's the reason, before we move off this topic, I'm going to want to hear from everybody too. So, I think it's.
You got plenty of everybody here.
And that's why I'm thinking, yeah, that's why it's a workshop. This is why I look for community input as well. So if this is something that the board doesn't want to have on here, we don't have to do it. To me, I'm trying to think about what amenities are we using that we're putting money into on a routine basis, and now it's every 5 years we're putting on a routine basis, and what could we do to use the money that comes in, maybe even to continue resurfacing the additional courts that need it, without having to pull from, you know, there's certain groups, just like certain people golf, certain people use the pool. We have a certain group that uses the pickleball. So I'm like, we all pay AOBs, so that's kind of where I was coming from. But open discussion now.
My feeling is that included in your AOB, there has to be some things that are free. Be it the putt-putt golf, pickleball, basketball, tennis, those things we require very little management from ICID. Those are free amenities. The pool, that's a lot of work and a lot of chemicals. There's a lot of people involved in it. Same with the golf. Pickleball, we're going to charge for putt-putt golf.
I was looking at
you. There's just some things I think need to be free. And if people want to send their kids over to play basketball, there shouldn't be a fee involved. It should just be free, just like a park.
Okay. Well, I'll agree to disagree, but that's just me. So any rest of the board? And then rest of the board, or I'm going to open it up to the audience next.
I'd like to hear from the audience first.
Okay.
Personally.
I like what you said.
Can we just jump up?
Just go up to the microphone if you could and turn it on.
Yeah, the mic and turn it on, and then name, address, and then you're good to go.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay, Dan over at 6 Quail Run Broad. That sounds great, keep it free, but if you're not going to do that, I understand the thought of having people that are using, like the pool or the golf course. I'm more concerned, and I don't think this is unreasonable. My main concern is how do you implement this? We play an awful lot of pickleball down there year round. At least half the time, the office is closed down there. How are you going to regulate who comes in and out, who has access? I've talked to some people, they said at one time the pickleball court had a lock on it. Well, I don't want somebody restricting our access to being able to go in there. If you want people to come out here and enjoy the area, I just don't see how you're going to implement it. I don't know if you do something like down at the marina where you've got to have a key card to get in. You're going to wind up probably spending more money trying to set up some kind of a system than you're going to take in to cover it.
Yeah, we had talked about, valid point. We had talked about there's like these little tokens that you give you a bunch of tokens and the group would have those and you'd drop them in.
Is the pickleball court still going to be property owners and their guests? Is it open to the public?
Property owners and guests.
Okay, well, you got people that we play with lots of people that are here. You know, they've got a condo or they're here part time, and they just show up and they want to go out and play pickleball. The office is closed down there. How do they go out and play pickleball?
I would hope that the property owner's still there with them. They're the guests, right?
Well, no, there's property owners that have homes here that are not here full time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a valid point. Like I said, that's why we have this discussion. So.
Okay. I just, if you're going to do something that is going to restrict our access to the courts down there, I think you're really opening up a can of worms. And as far as I know, you're talking about setting money aside now year to year, which I think is a great idea, so you don't get slapped with these bills. I mean, you know what the courts look like down there.
Mm-hmm.
You have very little maintenance because, to tell you the truth, we do the maintenance down there. The people that play down there are doing the maintenance. And there's issues down there that I know you all are talking about addressing. But just keep in mind, don't do something that's going to restrict our access.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about when you said you guys do a lot of the maintenance down there? Can you kind of explain that to us, please?
Well, when we go down there, if the courts are wet, we squeegee off the courts. We dry the courts. We're down there with blowers, cleaning leaves off the courts. The screens are in bad shape, but that a lot of them need to replace it. I mean, we're the ones that when those rip down, it's just up there with tie wraps. Whenever those come down, we go down there. I've been down there on the ladder tying those things back up. Right now you've got one corner of one of the fences, the crossbars, is actually off, it's out of the socket. The fence is just moving back and forth. The fence is torn away from the post because of the wind, and the actual wire wraps that hold the fence onto the post are breaking away.
Alan and I have gone around there, you know, hooking all that stuff back up. You know, it'd be nice if, I know there, you don't have personnel to do that stuff.
Well, and to your credit, Janice backed me up. I'm pretty sure the pickleballers actually contributed monetary value to buy the screens a couple years ago, right?
I don't know. The screen,
I think I'm looking over at the rest of the pickleballers to see.
Paid for the screens, but I don't know about that. We go down, I mean, we have gotten some tie wraps and stuff from Janice, but, you know, if nobody's in the office down, we go get the stuff and we take care of it. But, you know, now the screens are, they're ripped, and well, we pulled down the one because it, you know, it was halfway down and it was getting in our way.
Again, I appreciate that. So like I said, I brought this up. This is all me because when I hear from the community, and this is what I hear from the community, just like I mentioned with you all, I hear, well, that's pickleballers. Why am I spending $30,000 over 5 years for pickleballers?
I understand the argument, but I mean, okay, you've got other things like...
That's why I brought this up.
Are you going to charge kids to go out on the playground and swing?
No, I know. But again, we all have our...
I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not entirely against this. I'm more concerned about how you implement this, and I don't want to be denied our access that we currently have
sure.
to the pickleball courts just because, you know, the office isn't manned
24/7,
all the time.
Sure.
And you guys can come in at any time you want. I mean,
we're down there sometimes 8 o'clock in the morning
right.
in the summer.
And there's nobody there. You can't play.
Well, and through the winter... You know, the office is closed 3-4 days a week. Well, we're down there still playing on those days.
I think that's more than fair to grant free access.
I'm not going to argue with you on that for sure. But I do understand where you're coming from with this, though. But anyway, thanks. Did you?
Yeah.
Lisa Curry, 6 Quail Run Drive. And I've played pickleball all over the United States, a bunch of different situations. Almost none of them were free. Churches, municipal parks, private organizations. So I understand charging something because it's very valuable to me. The other thing on charging something is the first time I came to those courts, I was like, holy moly, they are so dangerous to play on. And I was like, is there any chance of resurfacing at any point? And Dan was like, I don't think so, you know, and I was like, And over the years, the couple years I've been here, we talked about, can we do a fundraiser? You know, what would people pay toward having those courts resurfaced because they're in such bad shape? And just looking at them from the outside, the small improvements that we managed to make, and keeping that court active, when people come down and hear laughing and fun, that's huge for Holiday Island. To see a dilapidated court with things falling down and cracks and things coming apart, that's horrible. Horrible for Holiday Island. I think there should be a fee. I do. Of course, I don't want it to be a lot, because I'm down there at least 15 hours a week. But I think the amenities that you do have, you need to maintain. And if you see it as a value, you can't let it run down.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll be quick. I'm Alan Miller. I live at 6 White River Cove, and I do play a lot of pickleball, really enjoy it. Incidentally, I'm also on the High Hoss board, and what I'm discovering is that this is a wonderful community, and we do need to pull together, and when we're playing pickleball, believe it or not, it's a wonderful way to meet new people, to welcome into the community, and we really enjoy that. And maybe HIHA in the future can be involved in, for providing some funds, but we've been educated. I tried to get some bids on doing the repair work. Mine were high. You guys got a bid at $15,000 for doing both those courts. And I thought, whoa, I mean, everybody's shaking their head. That's a good, good bid. So, but it's still, you know, it's probably something that does have to be done every, let's say, 5 years. So I'm with Lisa. If there was a modest fee that maybe we pay in association with, you know, a one-ticket deal for the swimming pool, et cetera, that sounds fair. We want to be fair. We want to do what we can do. And if we don't get a fee on, you know, a yearly basis, then maybe we can do pickleball competition, have a, you know, a, what do we call it?
It's our measures.
There we go. So that we can take those funds and apply it back to you guys to help you all keep it up. So maybe it's just time to be a little bit creative, but again, wrapping it up, it does take yearly maintenance. It doesn't take daily maintenance. There are some costs involved. We want to be fair with those costs, but we definitely want to keep it open all the time. We want you to realize just how important it is for the community. It's not just us. There are many people that come to this area, and they play pickleball where they've come from. They certainly don't want to give it up. They come here. We wish to be welcoming, and I think we have been so far. So that's where I'm coming from. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Yep. Hi, Betty Luna, 2 Blue Water Circle. I don't play pickleball. I'm kind of inactive. But before we charge any fees, I don't know about everybody else, but I am at the point where I resent all the fees that were being charged. Not just here, in the world in general. I get charged fee if I use my credit card for a big expense. Well, I'm already paying a big expense, but now I got to pay 3% more because I have to use my credit card because I don't have $1,500 in my hand that day. Before we do fees, I think our amenity fee that we pay, our AOB, yes, I agree with this gentleman right here. We need to offer something. Pickleball is the least expensive thing to maintain at this point. And it is in sad shape. You risk your lives. I don't play pickleball, but you guys are really, they're playing on a bad surface out there. And yes, there are fees. But these folks, because they get to play for free, they appreciate it. And they do their very best to take care of it. And that creates community. Okay, I'm the old hippie. The world sucks right now. This is our community. I think we can let them play pickleball for free. It brings other people out. They talk to each other. They get together. They cook together. They join clubs together. They tell each other about the restaurants in town. They share their vintage stores, and they help each other out. There's a lot of positives in this community. Places like Miss Kitty's, who steps up after our volunteer fire department, by the way, takes care of everything, steps up and says, if you all need something, stop in. You need clothing, I've got it for free. That's community. We need to think about that. That pickleball creates community. That's worth more than what it costs us every year to maintain it. So it's our choice. It's our community. Something to think about, guys. We are losing community all over the world. All over the world, we are losing community. Let's protect this community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
coming.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Vicki Miller, 6 White River Cove.
Speak up, honey.
Like the voice I use with you. Vicki Miller, 6 White River Cove, 785-760-3748. I am not opposed to a small fee for pickleball. I know that the cost of maintenance with everything has gone up. One of my concerns is that if Alan and I were to buy a swimming pass and a pickleball pass, we're paying $250 a year for those two services. We don't swim as much as we play pickleball. But I think that if we're going to be participating in more than one activity, maybe there should be a discount provided for that. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for the audience. I think I've got everybody so far on the pickleball topic. I'll open it back up to the board before we... So I've heard... I know where I stand. I know where Randy stands.
Well, and I agree with the limiting access to the pickleball courts is a major concern. To put in some sort of a card reader or coin-operated thing, the payback on that is longer than it would be 5 years to get our money back out of the machine before we'd even see a profit. So I think the biggest issue here that I'm hearing is the access. And I know, because I live right across the street, these guys are out here playing pickleball every day. And I don't know that how we're going to manage that with the rec center being closed 4 days a week in the wintertime. And in the summertime, it's not open early enough. So my feeling is we leave it as it is.
I agree. At this point, I feel like there should be some things that are available in the community for people in the community as well as visitors that we have that they're able to do something without having a fee.
I agree
that we shouldn't charge anything. Just leave it as is.
I'm not going to die on my sword for this, so I've made my point. I still agree that there's going to be costs, and it's a kind of a tangent, but I do like where we have multiple amenities that we partake in. Maybe we should look at it. It's not included in this, but maybe there is a discounted rate kind of thing we look at if you play golf and use the pool, for instance, if assuming we illuminate or I take out the pickleball. You know, I think that that's something to consider is if you're contributing in multiple amenities, if you will, a discounted rate that we don't capture right now. But that's, again, I'm hearing go ahead and delete this, and I'm...
Go ahead, delete it. Push that button.
Quick little idea. Why don't we form a pickleball organization and therefore they can have fundraisers, tournaments, stuff like that, and just put it in an account for future.
Well, no, I don't think it has to be here.
I nominate Alan as president.
Yeah.
It's just something we could think about. If you formed an organization, then you could do fundraisers and stuff like that. You know, cookouts, tournaments, wherever you want to. And if you make $300 off it, you can put it in an account. And when it comes time for us to do stuff, you can just add it to it. Just simple maintenance stuff. And then that way you guys aren't out of pocket paying for your own zip ties, your wire ties, stuff like that.
Sure.
Just an idea.
Yeah, we're going to get to that on this, because we're going to talk about organizations, and so that was long. All right, campground fee. All right, that's it for pickleball, so we're moving on. Okay, campground fees. I pulled this off of what we're putting on we have on the website. Danny has given the board the 2026 rates. I guess the campground doesn't open until the 1st, correct?
Yeah. I can explain that. Last year, we needed...
Microphone, please.
I'm sorry. I don't need a microphone.
The recorder does.
Okay. I'll even identify myself. I'm Danny Albright.
Turn it on.
The green button, right? I'm Danny Albright. I live at 20 North Star Loop. I've been a campground host. This will be my 14th season. This here was a misprint because last year we needed to increase our fees to meet the A&P tax to make sure all of our taxes were included. So what we did is we raised the rates $5. What we used to do, we used to charge what was called on property owners a basic site and a premium site. The basic site was that the trailer was under 24 feet, and a premium site was if it was 25 feet or longer. We eliminated that on property owners and just went with one straight fee of $15 a night. Included in that is our sales tax. And that's what you have right there in front of you. So basically, we charge $1.61 per tax per night onto that $15. The only recommendation that I would pondering doing is increasing the monthly fee, because what I get is I get a lot, like what the pickleballers are saying, we get a lot of campers, a lot of people own lots, they own... Most of the people that use that are property owners that use a monthly rate own a lot here. They're not retired. Or they're still considering whether or not they want to live here. And so they come down in April through the first weekend in November. They leave their trailer. They're able to work on it. Like, I've got three guys coming from Florida here next month that are going to stay a week while they work on their lots in the process of potentially moving here. I got a guy from Louisiana that's coming in too. It's just bought a lot. It's going to build up near the golf course. So what I would consider doing is adding a little bit more to the monthly payment on the property owner. Because in comparison to other campgrounds around us, two campgrounds that you know, I look at that we trade business with is, of course, Beaver and Roaring River State Park. Okay, Beaver's a little bit higher than us, and they pay basically by the length of the trailer, which is real common in campgrounds, or the length of the site, and whether or not you have full hookups or use a dump station. The difference between us and Beaver is people go to Beaver because they can walk right to the lake. And for us, they got to walk down a path to get to the lake, which isn't bad. They just got to walk back up. and so, which is, you know, is good exercise. And the other one, like I said, is Roaring River. They have access because they're going there to trout fish and the hiking trails. Here, they got to drive someplace. They know it. And two-thirds of my business are motorcyclists. We got a big bike rally in April. I've already got six reservations. These guys are regulars that come here every year for Spring Fling and Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue. I have also have a high percentage of people who come here to play golf. They buy a golf cart out of Joplin, Missouri. It's called Four State Golf Cart. And they come down here so they can play two rounds of golf. They make it a weekend. They can play here, play Cassville, and head back up north and play Monette. All on the same cart. They can make it a three-day trip. And I get a lot of Bella Vista area golfers. They come and stay. They come and play the courses. So in comparison to other campgrounds, this is the rate. And that was... We were using the older rates from previous years, and we didn't get the taxes in, and we didn't get the interest. So Deb and I sat down where we could make it simple for me, because I'm a PE major, okay? No math in 12 years of high school or 4 years of college. I found a loophole. So I want it simple so that I can get change and I can do the correct paperwork, make sure that we're covering everything.
All right, for the sake of this meeting and the workshop, we can propose for this resolution to replace this schedule with this without the tax, because we say in this proposal at the or the resolution at the bottom, we say tax not included. So we would just basically update this chart with the rates here for next week's potential vote. Is that any discussion, any issues with
just
that?
Just download them prices and then put tax included.
Which is what we originally did on the website.
Exactly. And then once this resolution is done, you would obviously update the website to reflect this. So that's just for the ease of...
And when people call me to make the reservations, I tell them, they say, what about taxes? That's tax included in it.
So we want to put tax included.
Right. That's because that's what we want. This resolution that we have with everything else to either have tax included on this, which currently doesn't. It says in the resolution, it says sales tax not included. So we just need to match this up with what we're proposing with the resolution.
Do you need a 3% charge, credit card charge on top of that?
I don't take, it's cash or check.
Cash only? Okay.
And part of that is because it's only open from April to November. It's a waste of money to set that up. Most people that can't are bringing cash or they're writing a check. And it's just, and I tell them right up front, when people make a reservation, you pay me when you get here. There's no deposit. There's no check-in time. There's no check-out time. If you're here the next day and want to come and collect more money from me, that's how simple. It's the most laid-back organization in all of that.
Danny, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Do you have Wi-Fi?
You know, that's something that we need. It could be very beneficial. And I'm going, like the tractor, I've got some bids. I'm going to Verizon today myself. I want to see, you know, most of the people that come in bring their own Starlink. Mm-hmm. And at one time, before I bought the house, I bought Cox for my trailer. And I left it there and I had a picnic table and people could come over and sit. I had a doctor during COVID doing his visits with his patients via the internet that I had from Cox, but it got so expensive and I bought our house, so I didn't need it. So yeah, Wi-Fi would be one of the most beneficial things down there, because everyone else is coming. They're going to the marina, they're going to the golf course, they're going, you know, wherever, the swimming pool, you know, whatever. Some even come to play pickleball.
Anything?
When I go camping, two things I look for is full hookup and Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, Starlink is so cheap now that a lot of people bring it, and a lot of people use hotspots. If they got Verizon and AT&T, it works really well. T-Mobile does not work very well down there because we're down in the woods. But that is something I am looking into to see the potential of getting you a proposal.
Anything else for Danny from the board? Audience, anything? Questions for the campground?
Got a good feedback from this about this gentleman. I think he's doing a great job.
Absolutely.
So they're liars.
All right, this one's going to be an interesting topic here. So... new section 4, facility around rentals fees. So I'm trying to figure out where to go with this. So the rates that I'm going to bring, I have Misty and Janice here. So Misty will deal with any questions relating to the ballroom and I guess what we're calling room A, which is downstairs at the clubhouse. And then starting out for the board here, or on the screen, these are the rental rates that we currently have in a resolution, the black text, if you will. And the $200 a day for property owners, $100 half day. We added the 4 hours in to constitute what a half day is. plus $100 deposit. Non-property owners are $400 a day, $200 a half day, with 4 hours being the half day, plus a $200 deposit. The discussion, a really big topic of discussion was going to be the HICID Group A organizations bullet that's added in, as defined in Exhibit A. Exhibit A is a new exhibit to this, which I'll just scroll down there. We're going to need to spend some time on, which is trying to list the Holiday Island organizations that we have. So is if it's an organization from pickleballers to Rotary Club, what organizations and clubs do we have that currently exist? We're going to want to look that over in a few minutes. But going back up to here, it says HICID Group A organizations. So I'm going to move over to our regulations and tell, so everybody can see what we consider a, what the regs say a Group A organization is. And I'm trying to remember exactly. It's 534, right? I think it's 534.
What are you looking for?
What a Group A. Here it is. All right. So I bounced over to our regulations just to so we can all get on the same page of what the regulations call these different various groups. And for the recording, I'll just go ahead and read this section out. So under Section 535, Rental Facility Rules, all district rental facilities, including but not limited to the Holiday Island Clubhouse Ballroom, Clubhouse Multipurpose Rooms, Recreation Center Meeting Rooms, the Barn, and the Pavilion are primarily for the use of and benefit of Holiday Island property owners whose group activities are comprised of at least 70% property owners. For the purpose of designating appropriate fees and deposits, the district recognizes three distinct groups of users of district rental facilities. So a Group A, user is Holiday Island clubs and organizations that consist of groups that have at least 70% of its membership comprised or composed of Holiday Island property owners. These groups must have paid a standing cleaning deposit and have submitted a 2-year schedule of meeting dates and times. A Group B user is Holiday Island property owners, consists of property owners as defined in Section 5.2, which we'll get there later, who may reserve a facility without meeting any composition requirements for private personal use, such as private parties, family unions, and similar uses. And then Group C is our non-property owners. They consist of users of district rental facilities who do not meet the definition of property owners as outlined in Section 5-2. This category includes not only individuals who do not own Holiday Island property, but also groups and organizations that are either unaffiliated with Holiday Island or whose membership composition is less than 70%. So with that, I'm focusing for the amenity fee schedule on what a Group A club organization is. So let me go back to that document. So what I'm proposing, adding a bullet in, is a HICID Group A organization. And I don't necessarily think we have to have an exhibit defined in Exhibit A. We're just referencing what the regulation states. That use the facility at least once per month, we're proposing a $75 annual fee for that Club A organization. And here's where it matters. We currently have several organizations. The only one that I think of for the Barn, however, is Stretch Class. That's the only one I can think of that uses it almost daily for right now at the Barn. The Island Room, you'll see I added the bullet, the Island Room, because there's several Group A organizations that use the Island Room on a regular, sometimes daily basis or monthly basis.
Weekly basis.
And Janice, this is where I'm going to need you to help me out here. So those organizations that I'm aware of, that I based on the list you gave me, is like the Pooligans. What else? Name the groups that we are currently have an annual rate being charged for.
Okay,
In the island room, the annual rate is being charged for the Cooligans, which meets every Wednesday. There is a duplicate bridge that meets every Monday, and every second and fourth and possible fifth Friday of the month. And then there is a Shanghai card group of ladies that come in, and they meet every Tuesday. And then we have a book club that just started. They come in on Tuesday evening from 5 to maybe 8, something like that. And then there is the garden club, uses it Wednesday afternoons. I don't have...
Once a month.
Once a month, Wednesday afternoon. So that's what's in the island room. As far as the barn goes, and you mentioned the barn, the stretch class. Okay, how that came about was way back, I'm talking maybe 5 years ago, even longer than that. This gal came to me and said she would like to do a stretch or a yoga or whatever, and she's volunteering her time to do it for the community. Well, I looked at that as a rec center activity. I didn't look at it as being something she's paying for these people to do, because she does it. So I said, the only place I can give you is the barn. And so I'm letting them use the barn. They're in there like an hour. It's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then in the winter, when the barn is shut down from December 1st to April 1st, they go up to the ballroom and use it up there. And it's, to me, it's like I said, a community or a rec center activity. So I'm not charging them for that, as well as I don't charge anybody other than the fee for the pool to come in and do water aerobics. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no fee for that. And it doesn't necessarily tie up the pool. They're in there from 9:15 to like 11:15. The big pool isn't that busy at that time during the summer, but if somebody comes in and they want to swim early, we have to send them, we ask them to go to the small pool as not to bother these people who take up practically the whole pool, because it's a lot of a big group. So those are the Cooligans who then moved over to the island room, which they are being charged for during the time when they don't use the pool. I mean, that was their thing to keep it going.
Okay, and so somebody else may have questions for you, so just hold on just a second. So in looking at, because this topic that we're talking about where there's an annual fee is not captured anywhere in here on our current resolution, which is why I'm trying, what I try to do is how could we propose fitting these, what I call a group A facility, organization, where they have 70% of their membership being property owners. They give a security deposit or a cleaning deposit. And they give you, in the case of the barn and I'll say the island room, they give you a schedule. They don't.
Well, they
should, because of the...
Well, the way it says, a two-year schedule, you know.
I'm just saying, we're trying to get current. We're trying to get...
Right.
The right way would be they would then, because it wouldn't be hard for them to give you a schedule, because obviously they're reserving it week after week or once a month, right?
Right.
So technically they've given you a schedule, not formally. But I think we're trying to get current with any Group A organization should do X, Y, and Z per the regs. That's what I'm trying to say.
I have a form at the beginning or towards the end of this year, like I did last year. I have a form that I send to them. And I want the name of the contact person, their phone number, when they want to meet, and what hours they want to meet. So I have an actual form for the year, okay? That doesn't necessarily, like the Cooligans, I don't know, well, I can't remember last year if they did continue in there in the afternoon after they finished swimming. They maybe didn't. So, you know, but they paid, you know, the $75 for the year.
So with everything I've just said and what you heard from Janice, how do we as a board feel with trying to look at each of the facilities to say there's certain groups that we're already charging an annual fee? Is the $75 a good number for annual for that Group A that does what we just said a Group A must do per the regs? Is there any heartache with that? The only odd one I think was the stretch class, because they currently don't pay anything right now.
Right.
And if they're considered, like we just said, to her justification, that they're kind of a rec center activity, then maybe that's how we address that as a rec center activity, health and well-being. I don't know.
I think the dollar amount we have at 75 bucks is probably accurate, and I think it's a good number. A lot of these groups, when I look at them, and I know several of these groups, they don't have any way to generate income. So therefore, they can't afford these $200 or whatever.
Right, that's
so
why
we... $5 a year, I mean, if you have a small group, that's only a few bucks a month per person, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. And again, we haven't got to the ballroom, but I'm going to jump ahead to use the ballroom as an example, and Misty, chime in if you need to, is the same can apply to some of these room organizations that just want to use the ballroom like once a year that don't generate. I'll say that if we know that HIMGA has a breakfast at the ballroom once a year, you know, and they can give a schedule that says every April we're going to want to use the ballroom just to do our breakfast, kickoff breakfast. I just use an example. Well, that could be a one-time fee that they would fall in if we have a schedule. We already probably, HILGA probably already has the clean deposit on file, and it doesn't cost a lot, and they pay an annual fee to use that on those dates, whatever those dates are. If there's a tournament that they always do at this time, that would be included in the annual. So what I'm trying to say is this gives flexibility by doing this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I like the idea because
that makes sense to me.
We want to make sure that we can support the local organizations that we have to give them the ability to use the spaces, and that's what it's there for.
Okay, so my only comment, question, concern
is...
All right, so...
I have another comment, too, but come on.
While she's getting up there, just so you know, the $75 does not include tax, so they actually pay $23.26 a year for the facilities. $83.26.
Because we don't say tax not included is what it says.
So $75 plus tax, that's $83.26 a year.
What is the percentage of tax?
What is the percentage up there?
Well,
is that seven?
There's an 8%, but then the A&P tax is added, so that's for, you know.
It's a total 11%.
11%.
8%.
11 total with A&P.
Yeah, no, but the A&P plus the regular tax is added.
And the STR.
Right, okay.
So you're a total of 11%.
I thought it was 7% was our state and county.
Right. And then an additional 3%, and then an additional 1%. So we're at 8, we're
there's
at a total of
there's
11%.
The
1%. Yes.
That's what I was wondering.
All right, go ahead.
Right. So we're going to give every organization that falls into Group A one free rental in the ballroom, is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, that's not what I said, I don't think.
If HAMGA has their annual breakfast once a year, then they're going to pay $75 for the whole year as long as they give me a schedule and I know they're doing their
breakfast.
I see.
No, that's a good point. I can see where I can see the loophole coming out right there. Yes, okay.
I know that, I mean, because that's what you just proposed. So, with that being said, and all of the organizations, and the fact that this comes off of the restaurant budget, then you're decreasing my income from there. I'm still paying an additional cost as far as utilities go, because, and somebody said, oh, it doesn't, the last workshops, oh, it doesn't raise the air conditioning that much if you have this many people or this many people. Well, yes, it does, because I monitor that very carefully, and if no one's in there, then I have it on a temperature, that is not going to run my utility bill up. Whereas if you stick 45 to 100 people in there, I'm going to have to drop the air conditioning so that way they're comfortable. Otherwise, they're going to complain.
Okay, so let's pause on the ballroom, because I hear what you're saying, and actually I looked down here and you notice I didn't have that bullet on the ballroom. So I don't have that, and the reason is because there's two parts to this, and I'm going to fast forward to the bottom here, okay? Holiday Island clubs and organizations, not a Group A, right? I'm saying a Holiday Island organization or club. These are what I'm proposing for the cost. So for the ballroom, $100 per use with the kitchen. Okay, so this is not, they don't have to give you any schedules. Any organization, this is what I'm proposing, so this is discussion. Any club or organization I recommend deleting all the highlighted yellow. So I said all these are Group A. No, I'm saying if it's the book club, if it's HILGA, HIMGA, whatever, they get listed as an organization on the exhibit. This is a Holiday Island organization that currently exists. This will be refreshed each year. For instance, I think this club is gone, so I struck through it, HIPRO. The Chamber of Commerce, I struck through. So each year, this would be reviewed. Any organization that's listed here that maybe doesn't fall under a Group A and doesn't want to fall under a Group A, where they give a schedule all the time, could be under HICID organizations, basically an other category here. So $100 per ball with the kitchen. And I think this is what we're currently proposed already doing, correct? So, well, I take it back. The red is a new. The black is what we currently have. So what you're saying is you asked to have this line added on, $100 per use with the kitchen for the ballroom.
Yes, I did.
So that's why that's red. That's added on.
Yes.
So my point is to address your question, there isn't that bullet there for your ballroom, for instance. But this is what work. But those bullets do work for Janice and her situation for scheduling the island room, et cetera.
And I'm fine with for the room A.
For room A as well.
We have a ladies group that comes in and plays cards on Thursday, and then there's another group that comes in the evening, right?
Poker guys.
So
they could give you a schedule, and they could work the cleaning deposit or whatever they need to do to become a Group A organization and give you an annual rate. I'm saying that out loud as like a suggestion, right? That's okay. So did I confuse the board enough, or did you follow what I was doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the audience who I may have confused jumping around? Any heartache with it, or do we leave it as we're proposing?
Can I say something about the ballroom?
Yeah.
My only thing about the ballroom is, especially for non-property owners, $800 or $700 come in here to use it for a one day. But if they need to cook, like let's say that there's a wedding reception or something else like that, if they're cooking for 200 people, that oven in there will not do that. You can cook one large aluminum pan at a time. So if they're trying to cook for 200 people, they're not going to be able to pull it off. An example would be the fire department golf tournament dinner. My daughter used to come in and make bread pudding, 10 large aluminum pans, an hour per pan to cook. So that's 10 hours that she's got to do that, but it's only that one thing. So it eliminates anything else that would need to be cooked in there, like baked beans, potatoes, or anything else like that. So if you want to rent this out to non-property owners to come in here and do their event, you have got to get something in there that these people can cook in. Because not everybody, like I said, it's a cultural thing. They may not want to get the food from the kitchen because maybe the kitchen doesn't do that. I don't know. I'm not saying that she can or she can't. I'm just saying if you want to rent it out for large events from non-property owners or even property owners, you got to have something they can cook in.
Okay, thank you. And
just one more point I want to make about the reservations. Like when you say if they give you a whole year's advance of what days they want, in the past, now I can't be sure it's in the regs. I know I have read the regs, so I know quite a bit, but I can't remember if I've read. If another person from an outside comes along and wants to rent that space, I kick the organization out.
That's not how it reads.
I don't know if it reads that way, but here's an example. I have the duplicate bridge, okay? And they have it like every Friday, every other Friday on Friday. Well, I have a gentleman who's going to come in and do another estate thing down there. He pays $600 for that room. So I have told the group, the bridge group, that they will not be able to be in that there that day. And they've accepted that and they move it. But I don't know if it's in the regs.
I see Misty's looking and Rich are looking real quick. If you can tell me what section, we can go right there.
I will let you know here.
Okay.
Does it say that you can't kick them out? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd rather get the $600 for the use of the room than...
I thought that was the intent, honestly, was to have profit.
Yeah, somewhere I read, I swear, that preference will be given to the Holiday Island organizations.
Well, I know that that's for golf. Like, I know that they're under golf, for instance, if there's a tournament or something outside, the Holiday Island property owners, golfers take priority. That's in the golf section.
I don't know if it's in there for sure, but that's what I have done forever. You know, I don't shy away from taking money in, you know, and the organization is just playing cards so they can go to somebody's house or something at that day if they want to, or they just don't come. Okay.
I know that we've been here an hour, so I think we still got a little bit more time to go. So I propose taking a 5-10 minute bathroom break. All right. So we'll adjourn for 10 minutes. Hey, the sheet.